Good afternoon, or good evening, or good morning, depending on when you're watching this. And just by way of explanation, this is part of a full week of prayer in the Diocese of Down Under Moor. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to share a little thought with the young adults of the diocese. I had really actually looked forward to this event. It was meant to include a lot of food. It was meant to include you having the opportunity to meet one another. It was meant to have the opportunity to ask me lots of questions. And above all, from my perspective, I was really looking forward to not just meeting with the young adults of the diocese, but actually to pray with you and to pray into your lives and to pray for you as well as praying with you. By way of explanation as well, we're in the back garden of the house that I'm currently living in until the sea house is repaired. So I'm not in a tropical rainforest somewhere, though I might wish that I were, and you might wish the same, but we're going to have to wait a day or two for that, I reckon. So first of all, I just want to say a couple of things to you. I want to encourage you to engage with us in this week of prayer. I want to encourage you to engage with all the other opportunities for the remainder of this week, to pray in these days for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in our land and indeed in our world, but especially in our communities where God has placed us and called us to live and work and serve Him, and to pray that His church in these days would rise up like a mighty army and be equipped to become everything that God wants His church to become in these days. So I'm inviting you to pray and to spend the rest of this week praying. But I'm also just wanting to share a few thoughts with you this evening. And all the other talks that I'm sharing to other people groups, I've literally taken the reading for the day and spoken out of that, but not so this talk, because when I sat down to prepare, I really did sense that God led me to a particular passage and to a particular few verses that He wanted me to share with you guys as young adults. And you can decide whether you're a young adult. You can decide the criteria for that if you're listening. I guess that you've decided that you fit into that category. Here's the few verses. They're found in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." There's a few things that I want to say by way of introduction. First of all, I want to say to you this, that as young adults, I want you to know that as the bishop of this diocese, I am really committed to doing all within my power to ensure that you as individuals and as a corporate group, a new generation rising up, can thrive and can enter into everything that God has for you within this church where God has placed us. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to see God raise up a new generation of leaders to lead us forward into the decades that lie ahead. I want to see our church enable an army of young men and women rise up for mission and for ministry, ministries of all types and forms across our diocese, so that we can proclaim and make known in word and in deed, in the power of the Spirit, that Christ is risen, that Christ is alive, and that he will build his kingdom and build his church. Now, none of us as followers of the Lord Jesus are perfect followers. None of us are perfect disciples. And Moses in this story isn't the perfect follower either. And that, I'm sure, won't surprise any of us. It's a simple reality that he and none of us are the perfect followers of Jesus. The story of Moses was such that God had called Moses to rescue the people of Israel and to lead them out of slavery in Egypt and to bring them to the promised land. But out of Egypt, they begin to wander around in the wilderness aimlessly, and they end up making a calf out of the gold that they'd taken from Egypt whenever they were leaving Egypt. And they end up making wrong choices. And aimless living so often is not a good thing. We end up making wrong choices if our lifestyle is simply such that it's pretty aimless. We need purpose, we need direction, we need God's purpose and God's direction. We need to know God's call on our lives, and we need to begin to live out that call that God has on our lives. Even so, in the case here of this story in Exodus chapter 33 and earlier in chapter 32, God says that he will still keep his promise to his people, and he will still give them the land, even though they have rebelled against him, even though they have worshipped this golden calf, even though they have turned away from him. He says that he will still give to them the promised land. We read in verse 3 earlier, "I will go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." In other words, they can have their promised destination. But there's something quite frightening here in these verses. They can have the destiny, but without the comfort of God's presence on the journey, and without the requirement and the call to be holy and to live for God on the journey. In other words, it's a little bit like having a ticket to heaven without the need to have God's presence, or without the need to really live our lives for God, or to live holy lives that would please God. I wonder if you were offered a ticket to heaven without the requirement to live your life, to really live your life for Jesus Christ, to really live a holy life. I wonder, would you take the ticket and forget about having Jesus with you on the journey? I want you to listen to Moses' response. I think this is really, really important. And I think there's something in these next couple of verses that God really wants to say to the young adults of our nation today and indeed to anyone who would profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ today of whatever age. And he, Moses, said to him, that is, said to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the whole earth? Moses here had been given an incredible choice. He could have the goals that he had set out for met. He could actually have the result that he wanted happen, the children of Israel arriving in the land that God had promised them. But there was this challenge and this choice that Moses had to make. And the choice he had to make was about living his life for God and about living in the presence of God and living a holy life for God. Because the condition here is that they would no longer be God's people. Now Moses is in a place, and it's a good place to be. In this particular moment, Moses is in that place where he recognizes that it's knowing God is what really matters. Being God's man is what matters. Not what he might do for God, not what he might even achieve, but rather this living, breathing, life-giving relationship with God was what really mattered to Moses. One Bible commentator says this, a man called Tim Chester says about these verses, that God offers Moses everything without God. But Moses doesn't want everything. Moses wants God. You and I are not just saved from sin. This is important, folks. You and I are saved for God. We've been rescued for God. We've been rescued and saved so that we can live our whole lives for God's purposes. That we can live our lives in God's presence. That we would become holy for the Lord and live our lives to His glory. To live the Christian life is to live in God's holy presence. God calls us, if we're His followers, to be holy. God calls us to be a people who would obey the Word of God. It matters that we obey God. Not just that we have a ticket to heaven. Not just that we have our name on some church register or even serve in the church in some particular way. What really matters is that the Lord's presence goes with us and that we're living our lives for His purpose, living our lives in His presence, living holy lives that are pleasing to Him. You see, it seems from these verses, and this is quite scary, that we can have success without God's presence. But would you want success without God's presence? I want to believe that I personally would not want success without the presence of God. Moses says in verse 12, we read, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Moses desperately wants to know that God is with him. There's something by way of a desperation in these days of prayer that I ask and pray that God would put into the hearts of every single one that's listening to this. That God would put into your heart a desperation to know Him, to really know Him, to become holy like Him, and to live out His purposes, His calling on your life, whatever that calling for you might be. We read in verses 13 to 15, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation, your people, is your people, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring me up from here. I want to pray that I would be a leader, and that you and I together, and all of us who would own the name of Jesus and down in Drumore, would want his presence more than we want success. That we'd want to please him more than we'd want anything else. That we'd want his pleasure, and we'd want to be people in whom he would delight, because we're those who would be doing his will, obeying his call. And his call on some of your lives may be a costly call. It may be a call to give up much. It may be a call to do the very thing that you've said that you're never going to do, for whatever reason. It may be a call to any number of things. But here's the thing. It would be better to be in his presence than to be doing something else that might even be successful, but not to be in his presence. We're told here that Moses would later see God's glory. In verses 18 and 19 we read, Moses prayed, please show me your glory. And he, that is God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and you will proclaim before me my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The very goodness of God passed in front of Moses. We don't really understand what that was like for Moses, or what that really looked like, but we know this, that Moses worshipped and Moses prayed and Moses proclaimed God, and that it was all part of the same thing. Proclamation, praying, worshipping, it's all part and parcel of following God and living for God and living in the presence of God and making God known. These are incredible verses. Moses would rather actually be in a desert with God than in a land flowing with milk and honey without God. That's really challenging, but it's also really encouraging that the presence of God and the will of God for your life and for my life is so good, that actually it would be better to be in a desert with God than to be in a land flowing with milk and honey without God. You and I live in days that are challenging days, but there are some things that haven't changed. Christ lives in us if we have trusted him as our Savior and become his followers and his disciples. The Holy Spirit lives in us and intercedes in us and intercedes through us and prays in us and prays through us and prays for us. We have too the assurance that the Holy Spirit anoints us and equips us for life and for work and for ministry in the desert as well as in the land that flows with milk and honey. So I suppose my little challenge, and it's actually quite a big challenge really, is this: live in his presence. Seek above all else his presence. Seek above all else to live a holy life. Seek above all else to obey the word of God, to keep the commandments of God, and to live a life that pleases God. And in these days of opportunity, when we have the opportunity to pray, maybe you too, along with me, would pray that something of God's goodness would pass before us, and that out of that place of being in his presence, we would then proclaim his name, that we would make him known, that we would own the calling that God has placed upon our lives, that we would enter into that calling, that we'd live out that calling, and that we would see His goodness and see His gracious hand at work in our nation, in our lives, in us and around us, and even through us, because it's so much better to have His presence even in a desert than to live without Him in a land that flows with milk and honey. So I want to encourage you to find a way now to spend some time either praying on your own or joining with some friends via Zoom or connecting with some others who you just want to spend some time with and pray with, and to really seek the face of God in these days, but in these next moments and minutes and next little while that you would set aside to pray that the Holy Spirit would visit your life, that the Holy Spirit would visit your church, that the Holy Spirit would visit our communities, that the Holy Spirit would visit the lives of others that you might name before God in this time of prayer, that the Holy Spirit would lead you into the calling that God has placed on your life, and that His presence would always go with you, because you would always seek His presence more than just a ticket to glory, but rather His presence, that you would live out His purposes for your life in the power of His Holy Spirit in the here and now, and that you would serve Him and love Him and worship Him and know Him and make Him known more and more and more. So get to prayer in whatever way you choose to pray over the next little season, and Tim will have provided some resources that will now become available to you as you continue to pray. God bless you, and I do look forward to us being together hopefully soon. Not in a rainforest, I guess, but maybe in a decent church hall somewhere in the not too distant future. God bless you.